Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I am still living with your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast.
Members, next up is HB 1421. Gender Clinical Interventions by Chair Fine.
So how do you think this conversation went?
We have approximately 72 or so speaker cards. We'd like to hear from everyone that has traveled to Tallahassee, and we'll do our best to make sure that everyone gets the appropriate time.
Not even 100? Wow. All right. So we're talking about the bill that basically bans transgender therapies or surgeries for minors and a bunch of other things, but I'll let the bill sponsor explain it. This is Randy Fine.
The bill, I would say, falls into four categories of what it will do. First, it will ban the surgery or drugs that are used for the purpose of mutilation and castration for children under the age of 18. Doctors who engage in this practice will be committing a third-degree felony in the state of Florida.
So, taking what is currently a fairly widely recognized medical procedure and turning it into a third-degree felony, and as you heard him there say, banning surgical or chemical mutilation for kids on the basis of gender change. That's part one. He says four. There's actually six.
Second, it says that in custody hearings, children who are at risk of being taken to do this sort of clinical gender intervention, a court can consider that in order to keep those children with the parent that does not seek to do that to their child.
Now, the way I originally read the bill was this would be if you were having obviously it's if you're having a dispute with your spouse, okay, and one spouse wants to let the child have this kind of treatment and another spouse does not. The way I understood it was that basically if you were the spouse against the treatment and you had possession of the kid, possibly in violation of custodial orders, that you would be allowed to keep the kid if you're keeping him for this reason. It seems like it's also maybe the kid could be delivered to you over the objection of the custodial parent because of this. But in any case, the premise of it is that a parent wanting to prevent these kind of treatments for a child, a minor, would be given preferential treatment in some kind of custodial scenario over the objection of another parent who wants the child to be able to undergo these treatments or these therapies or these surgeries. Number three?
The third, as it relates to adults, it says that no public funds can be used for these procedures. It says that no health insurance can be used for these procedures. Should you wish to do it as an adult, you will be paying for it yourself.
So, again, minors banned, adults no public money and no health insurance coverage. That's it, and they explain why a little bit later, but I want to get you through the basic elements of the bill. Number four.
Third, it says you must have written consent. A doctor must get written consent and provide detailed information before an adult chooses to do this sort of thing.
Okay, which is somewhat, I mean, you know, every time you do a medical procedure, you got to have consent. You don't always have to have it written down, but yeah, that's number four. And he kind of gets off on his numbering here a little bit, but number five.
And fourth, it creates a new cause of action where if someone is unhappy about what has happened, they will have 30 years in the case of someone who is alive, 5 years in the case of someone who has died, in order to pursue a cause of action related to any damage that they have received as a result of this.
So if you regret having undergone sex change or hormonal therapy, puberty blockers, all of that, you have up to 30 years to sue the doctor, which is an enormous amount of time under these kinds of stat. You typically don't get that. I mean, like, I think it's 5 years typically. 5 years if somebody's deceased, 30 years to like sue on their behalf, 30 years if they were alive, if you change your mind. Okay, so you get a gender change mastectomy when you're 16, something that happens. Okay, and now you're, 45 and you decide you believe that was done in error, that it was wrong, and you wish to return. You wish you'd never stopped being a woman in your upper body. You can sue the doctor who did the mastectomy. That's what that says. And then number six, again, he's off on the numbering.
And then finally, the bill states that birth certificates will reflect biology and they will state what you were born as based on biology at birth.
So you have male and female sexes and you don't get to change that based on whatever you do with your body thereafter. You're born away. That's the way you are. So, you know, questions came up and lots of, by the way, this was probably the most aside from all of the sort of flame throwing that went on, mostly by the critics, but some of which by the opponent, by the advocates, this was the most philosophically interesting Tallahassee hour and a half I think I've ever listened to. It really made me think. It really raised a lot of good questions. It was a very thorough discussion about this. They still didn't get to everything, but it was, I mean, like, I know everybody's frustrated about the topic because there's so much to be said and everybody has such strong emotions, but this was a genuinely interesting conversation. And, you know, like I said, I listened to the whole thing because I always feel like I shouldn't report on a partial thing, but I listened to the whole thing. So first of all, the question is, well, why is this not considered health care? This is Representative and Dr. Ralph Masullo, co-sponsor of the bill.
The fact that we are not allowing insurance to pay for these type procedures is because we feel that they should be included as a cosmetic type procedure and not necessarily a procedure that would improve their health.
So the reason they're not letting anybody get health insurance coverage for it in the state of Florida is because it's going to be treated like an elective cosmetic surgery. You know, like if you're having your breasts worked on, for example. Well, that's one of the very common surgeries, typically breast enhancement, sometimes breast reduction. This would be total breast reduction, but for the purposes of, you know, gender change, right? Now, this also led into the question about things like, you know, mastectomy for breast cancer survivors, right? Or as, you know, preventative for breast cancer. And the answer to that is it's not being done for gender change. Therefore, it's fine. Okay, that's a genuine surgery to prevent or to solve for a medical problem. Again, cancer. That's their answer to that question. What about the, you know, the changing on the birth certificate? Kelly Ann Skidmore, who's gone through several name changes because of marriage. And I think she'd said another one as well. She might be divorced. I forget. But she set it up with, look, I've changed my name. What's the big deal? We can change names all the time.
If a person is transgender, why would you prohibit them from having the reflection of that change, just like the change in my name? Why would they not be able to change their birth certificate?
Chairman Fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your name can be changed, your biology cannot.
Which, that's true. You can change certain markers of your body, but you can't change your chromosomes, right? You can surgically alter your sex organs to a degree, right? But still, the idea is that sex is fundamental and name is something that is superficial comparatively. And this, I thought, was probably the most important Q&A in the whole day. And it was the question of parental rights, right? You have parents making decisions for minor children, something that everybody believes in. But the question is, in this case, why won't you let parents make this decision for their children if they believe it's in the best interest of their kids? This is, again, Kellyanne Skidmore, and it's Representative Fine is going to do the answer.
How is, you know, a parent deciding that they believe, you know, they are supporting their child in their decision to have their bodies reflect who they believe themselves to be, not a parental right?
Representative Fine.
Thank you. There is no parental right to child abuse. And children cannot consent to this because they are of an age where they cannot make these decisions. And so given that, what we're focused on in this bill are procedures that have irrevocable changes.
And in contrast, he says, they're perfectly fine to engage in non-irreversible therapies, treatments, behaviors. The only thing that's prohibited is directly altering the body for the sake of a minor's current temporary mental health orientation about their gender identity.
You will note that the bill does not prevent psychological treatment. It does not prevent someone who wishes to dress as different than their biology, because those are things that you can then go back and say, well, I changed my mind. But there are guardrails on what parents can do with their children. It's the entire reason we have DCF. So not to say this relates to that, but there are limits on what parents can do in the upbringing of their children.
And that's exactly right. On the one hand, parental rights, absolutely. The concept of parental rights does protect other parents from my intervention or the state's intervention on a very broad range of things with which I might disagree or with which society might disagree. And to believe in parental rights means believing that parents are in the best position to make choices for their children, even if their choices are weird even if their choices to some degree are awful for their kids. We allow them to make those choices. However, like almost every other thing, there's a balance. And there's not an unlimited right to do with, to, or for your children anything you want to do. Right? Parental rights, everybody believes that there are limits to this. Now, the one thing is they make the argument that this is child abuse. And this is a really difficult one because the people who don't believe that kids who have gender dysphoria ought to be getting either surgical or hormonal therapy or treatment or whatever, they believe that it's child abuse to take a 13 or 14-year-old in what is often a temporary condition of gender dysphoria. Somewhere along 80% of people who don't get treatment of that sort wind up changing their minds, okay? So it's temporary. It's not always temporary, but we don't know which ones are temporary or not. And the ones that don't go through the interventions later are glad they didn't go through the intervention. Also, it needs to be said, those who go through the intervention later often are glad they did. And a small subset go through it and really dramatically regret it. So you have all of those cases. All those cases are true, okay? So if that's it, the issue then is, okay, doing this to a child, the problem with comparing it to child abuse, of course, is that child abuse harms the child in a way the parent, it's not acting on behalf of the child, right? Child abuse is a weird analogy because child abuse is not for the child's benefit, even if the parent's very misguided, okay? In this case, they believe they're doing something for the benefit of the child. So the child abuse analogy is an odd one to make. And there's, by the way, there's lots more to be said about this. I'm talking about this a lot today, but I wanted to kind of give you the setup, the basic, like what they talked about, what they're, there was a lot of very, you know, high emotion, high language, you're going to kill kids, you know. I mean, just, you know, for an example, okay?
There's really no reason to do this. There's really no reason to not let people change their gender on their birth certificate and live their lives as who they are. I'm going to tell you once again, as someone who encounters transgender minors on a day-to-day basis, you will kill them if you force them to detransition.
So the one side is saying you're killing kids by prohibiting this. The other side says you're often killing kids by causing this because something like 20% of people who undergo the transition still kill themselves. Horrific statistic. All of the stuff around this subject is horrific, by the way. And they say it's child abuse or mutilation. And, you know, there are some horror stories about people in the, you know, 6 years old being changed by the gender because, you know, dad had four boys and didn't want a fourth, or had three boys and, you know, sorry, it's the other way. We had three girls and wanted a boy. The fourth one comes out a girl. So he just intervenes and starts changing her gender to a boy. I mean, a real story, like real things that actually happen. I have a lot to say about, I mean, I could just talk straight about this probably for 3 or 4 hours because there's so much to be talked about. But they did, of course, advance the bill 12-5. I expect that this is going to go through on both chambers. I expect this is going to be made law in the state of Florida. So we'll talk about it, though. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Informative news and talk.
Local news and talk.
And dependable news and talk.
Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
One of the things I love about that clip from Cool Hand Luke is that's one of these classically misquoted lines because he doesn't have an article in there. What we have here is failure to communicate, not a failure to communicate, which is how most people quote it.
And most people quote it like that.
Right. And there's so many of those that everybody knows the line wrong, which, you know, I think
you're
that's,
right. You're absolutely
that's
right.
Fascinating.
Have you seen the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Golly, what is it?
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
I can't. I love that.
526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The New York grand jury hearing former President Trump's hush money payment case expected to reconvene today. They've been preparing for possible protests there if an indictment is announced. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby defending President Biden's ordering of airstrikes in response to a string of Iranian-backed attacks on U.S. bases in Syria. He was on CBS's Face the Nation. Kirby stressed the administration's commitment to protecting U.S. troops. And the National Weather Service in Jackson, Mississippi, giving that deadly tornado that tore through Mississippi on Friday night an EF4 rating.
Wow.
That storm, of course, 26 people is what they're saying right now have died in the storm. So terrible.
Wait,
there.
26 people in Mississippi?
Yes. That's what they're saying.
Really? Because, okay.
At least that's what this story says. I've heard higher numbers as well.
No. I heard sort of the exact opposite. On NBC this morning, they were reporting that nobody died in the tornado that hit the small town in Mississippi. So that's maybe this is a different portion of the storm than they were reporting on. That's why I'm...
Perhaps, yeah. No, this at least says 26 people here. So unless that's changed, and I'll double check
yeah,
for
I'm
the next time.
I'm seeing dozens dead after Mississippi tornadoes.
All right, I don't think I heard it wrong, but I may have heard just a particular portion of it. What they were talking about was this tiny town where the local anchor actually went on the air and was just praying.
Yeah,
he didn't know what to say. I think I have the clip here. Let me see.
Now to an emotional moment from our Tupelo, Mississippi affiliate. Their chief meteorologist overwhelmed as he realized the small town of Amory was just moments away from a direct hit by a powerful tornado on Friday.
So this is Amory, Mississippi.
North side of Amory, this is coming in. Oh, man. Dear Jesus, please help them. Amen.
Oh,
wow.
And I just...
That's powerful.
Yeah. What can you do, you know? But then they went on. Here was the follow-up to that.
Surveillance video captured the moment that twister slammed into a high school in Amory. The winds ripped the roofs from buildings, and so far no deaths have been reported within Amory, but there is significant damage across the town.
So that was maybe just not that particular tornado, whereas other portions of the storm, because yours was overall for Mississippi?
Right, yeah, this was overall for the state.
Okay.
Yeah, Rolling Fork, it says tornadoes in Deep South killed at least 25.
Wow, so. Okay. And I know as a religious person, who knows but that he might have saved lives. Yeah, I mean, who knows? But man, what a moment, unbelievable. God, it's horrible. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody texts in and says, thank you, Andrew, for having this conversation about the transgender surgeries this morning. Unfortunately, people who don't or who really need to hear this aren't listening. They might. We have a pretty wide audience. And listen, one of the things you'll notice when I talk about this, there will be times when I talk about this topic that I'm pretty one-sided. That's fine. But a lot of what I try to do is just make sure that everybody hears some perspectives that they didn't otherwise hear. I genuinely think the transgender, especially for kids, but even for adults, but especially for, it's really complicated. Now, I come down on a side, okay? But I think that this is one of those examples of, this is a topic that people have really strong emotional reaction to and have not really thought it out a lot because we've only been talking about this for a few years. And unlike some other topics, like, for example, sexual orientation or reproductive issues, those are topics that have been so widely discussed that people have pretty well thought out views comparatively. On transgender issues, they don't, and especially because debate and honest discussion has been so poisoned by some of the descriptions of people who disagree on this, that really, it's just nobody's really had good, honest conversations about this in the public square.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Dozens of homes are destroyed by a tornado in Georgia. President Biden's issued an emergency declaration for Mississippi. At least 25 people are killed there, one in Alabama, in tornadoes Friday night.
Through federal funding, the White House says that things like temporary housing and loans for uninsured properties will become available for those residents in Mississippi counties pummeled by this storm. Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was on the ground yesterday in Rolling Fork, Mississippi. He took a tour of the small Delta community, which residents say is really nothing but a hollowed shell.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. Demonstrations in Israel after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fires his defense minister for opposing a plan giving his government more power over the courts.
Tens of thousands taking to the streets of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Bonfires on the streets and water cannon in response. The White House is calling for an urgent compromise to be found.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio, 92.3 right now, 72 degrees. It is mostly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. The special election for two town council seats in Century is coming up on Tuesday. Polls will be opening at the Century Town Hall Tuesday. Candidates Shalisa McCall and Evelyn Weber in the running for council seat 3 there. And McCall's been serving already as the interim council member since January. She's also the president of the local Century Chamber of Commerce. Weber recently moved to Century. Candidates Eddie Hammond and Alicia Johnson running for council seat 4. Johnson has been the interim council interim council member for that seat since January. Both of those seats have been vacant since January when nobody ran for them during last year's election. Rescue crews found the body of missing boater Pete Griffin over the weekend. The Fish and Wildlife Commission says Griffin's body was found in waters near NAS Pensacola. Search efforts had been underway since Griffin's boat capsized last Tuesday. Crews from the FWC, Escambia Search and Rescue, the Cajun Navy, and local volunteers had all been combing the waters. An Alabama man is dead after a police chase ended with a crash in Baldwin County over the weekend. That happened on Highway 31 south of Bay Minette on Saturday morning. Alabama troopers say 39-year-old Huntsville man Zachary Cook was running from law enforcement when his vehicle crashed and rolled over. Troopers say Cook was not wearing a seatbelt. He died at the scene of the crash. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency continues to investigate, and so far there's no word on what initiated that chase. Well, it was a warm welcome over the weekend for the man who's going to be sculpting the General Chappie James statue for the Chappie James Memorial Plaza. They had a Meet the Sculptor event over the weekend.
I've just never experienced anything in these 45 years of doing this. I've never experienced group support, community support, because normally you go to these places and the politics are so big and everybody's fighting each other instead of coming together.
That is Ed Dwight, sculptor and Air Force veteran. As you can hear there, a lot of people attended the event. They're saying several hundred people were at the Meet the Sculptor event. The General Chappie James Memorial Foundation does say they've already got the flag, the flagpole, the aircraft, and the sculpture. Now it's just time for them to bring all of those elements together. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 First Warning weather.
It is going to be a very humid day today. This morning, fog will be possible. Showers and thunderstorms possible as we go into the late morning and into the afternoon. Some storms could have some gusty winds. Temperatures today will be nice and warm. We are going to be warming up near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. Rain chance will continue for Tuesday with a higher chance of rain in the evening. 80% chance of rain overall. Tuesday high near 75. Overnight dropping near 53. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 72, mostly cloudy in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, and 73 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Home Outlet has the new quality in-stock products you need to keep your project on time and the prices to keep you on budget. Refresh your bath with the Denmark Solid White Vanity, including a marble top and 3-inch backsplash, just $214 each. Add a Geneva freestanding bathtub, value priced at $899 each. Visit your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet for the guaranteed lowest price on the products you need to reimagine your bath space. Or shop online at homeoutlet.com.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
Five 37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Monday. And by the way, just as a side note, like to everything, because we just kind of don't maybe tell you all this often enough. First of all of the show is podcasted. Candy puts up the full hours of the show, so if you ever want to share that or just listen, you know, maybe you're in your car from like 5:30 to 6 every day, and you're like, I wonder what happens at 8 o'clock. We'll just go on a podcast page. You know, newsradio923.com, podcast. It's very easy. But an even easier way is if you get the app on your phone. I was talking to somebody over the weekend who is a regular listener, you know, loves the station, and didn't know about the app. I'm like, oh, well, let me show you. Download the app real easy. You can listen online, and there's a little, like, the far right button on the bottom. You just put it there, and all the podcasts come up immediately, so you can listen in your car when you're away or at work or whatever you want to do. 437-1620, that's my phone number. Friday, we had a chance to talk to State Representative Alex Andrade, District 2, which is the southern half of Escambia County, plus all of the waterfront areas in Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How's it going?
It's going great, and I have to start with this. I don't know if this is any kind of a record, but I will say kudos to you. You're the only legislator I know personally who has now had not one, but two Snopes articles written in your defense against mischaracterizations of legislation you're running that had gotten national attention for the misinformation. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always appreciated anytime anybody points out that something's being misleading about something you're working on. So I'll take any defense I can get.
Well, yeah, no, and it's just kind of one of those things like, why can't people just get the bills right? Why can't they just read them and report on them accurately? This is the HB 999 and HB 991. One of which is the lawsuit, the defamation bill, and the other one is, oh my God, my brain, it escapes me right now. What's the other one?
So the other one is HB 999, which is regarding like DEI.
Oh, that's
CRT
right.
On
all the reforms at the college level. That's exact. Thank you for it. I just my brain went, what is that one? All right. So today I've got questions about. There's a lot of things I have questions about. One, permitless carry. We're poised to pass that today, right?
Yeah, the Florida House is poised to pass permitless carry today, and also a massive we're taking on the Senate, what the Senate sent us over for affordable housing, which will essentially double the amount of spending for affordable housing initiatives in Florida. It'll be somewhere in the range of about $700 million-plus dollars for affordable housing initiatives just in that one bill. The fiscal on that one bill.
Wow. And is that now, is that, and I have not read that bill, is that incentives for building, you know, multi-unit, single family, you know, what's the kind of the structure of that incentive plan?
So it's both. So we already have programs like SHIP and SALE, those are acronyms. Those are like apartment dwelling incentives for affordable housing, and then also our programs to help keep people in their homes and help them help cover their down payments for their first-time home purchases. We also have this program called Hometown Heroes, which we started last year, which we're increasing by $100 million or proposing to in this bill. This is a bill that's been sent over to us by the Senate, so we've just taken on the Senate's language. So once it passes today, it'll go to the governor, and I think it'll be a huge help. You know, it's a self-inflicted problem, right? We have so many people moving to Florida. One of our biggest issues is affordable housing and keeping people in their homes, being able to afford property insurance, et cetera. So, taking that on and really literally doubling our efforts to address that for constituents is a big deal.
Yeah, and I think this is Kathleen Pasadomo's big initiative, and kudos to her for it. And it's kind of funny how the Democrats have been criticizing Governor DeSantis for the affordable housing crisis, which the answer is, well, the problem is we made Florida too awesome. I mean, and so therefore we have a housing crisis is the issue. The permitless carry, as I understand it, this would also mean that that open carry is not going to happen this year, right? That's not on the table anywhere.
So open carry, there was an amendment proposed by a member on the House side. That member pulled their open carry amendment a couple days ago. So right now it is just related to permitless, getting away from our concealed carry permit requirements in Florida. And that's really what was kind of – it's been discussed and agreed to by the House and the Senate. So that's what we're going to be sending to the Senate later today.
Okay, very good. And just in case people haven't heard this much and we haven't talked about it enough, the rules for who can carry concealed do not change. Anybody who would be eligible for a permit is able to carry. Anybody who would not be eligible for a permit still cannot carry. And you still can only carry in the places where it's allowed. There's a whole list of places where you cannot carry, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, really, ultimately, the only real-life effect of the bill, from my perspective, is I can take one laminated card out of my wallet. and I did not – and honestly, with the questions yesterday on the bill – on the concealed carry permit bill, I didn't realize just how safe that laminated card in my wallet made some Democrats feel.
Fascinating. Well done. I like that. Alex, one of the things that we've seen the governor announce in recent days, and I guess we've got a bill that wants to take the parental rights bill and expand the prohibitions on the discussions of sexual orientation and gender identity up from the third grade to the eighth grade. Apparently the governor wants to push it all the way up to the 12th grade on rulemaking within the agency as opposed to from a bill. I talked about this about a bunch yesterday. I'm certainly willing to have that conversation, but it absolutely feels to me like we were sold the K through three because who can possibly object to a seven-year-old? And then the very next year, it's camel under the tent stuff that we're trying to push it all the way to eighth grade or 12th grade. Am I perceiving something wrong here? It feels like like it was a strategy instead of just upfront. Let's just ban it to eighth grade or ban it to 12th grade like we really intended.
So when you say strategy, I want to make clear there was no conspiracy last year, right? So this wasn't a bill that was planned ahead of time. This was really one House member's bill on K through three that they thought was a good idea. And just by virtue of the fact that opponents really, really grabbed onto it and made it a much bigger deal and issue than it was, it brought a lot more attention to it. We've had broader discussions since. And the idea really is, I mean, this kind of makes sense for like, why are kids in middle school? Why should kids in middle school be taught gender theory or a teacher's subjective viewpoints on sexuality? I mean, when you ask that question, even I right now, that just sounds bizarre to me. I think it's less of a strategy or a plan or a conspiracy, and more just we've all thought about it now. It's been brought to the forefront. We've seen more and more evidence of people pushing back against that bill, kind of saying they do want to be teaching kids about this stuff. And we're just, it's a result of more public discourse, the Overton window kind of shifting, and us all realizing just how prevalent this stuff became. I think it is moving right now. you know, and you know, I don't disagree with it. You know, it's just this just makes sense.
Okay, well, that, you know, that actually puts my mind a little bit more at ease, because it just it felt exactly like what the critics were saying is, well, you're saying K through three now, and what you're going to do later, and what you're saying is, you know, based on the opposition and the yelling and screaming and the hissy fit pitched over at this last year, maybe we ought to consider what's going on in the totality of the school system and think more about this. And sure enough, we've thought more about this, and we really think it ought to be a higher age limit. I hear that argument. I mean, I take that to heart. One of the other things, a big thing, is we did pass the voucher expansion. I think that's going to the governor's desk, if I'm not wrong. And this did go with every single person with no restrictions whatsoever. I still ask the same question I asked before, which is, I don't get the public benefit from spending public money to compensate people who are already paying for private school and can easily afford to do so with their income. I don't see that, other than as some kind of a weird philosophical thing. But that's what we're sending, right? That's the bill that's going.
So it is. But I do want to point out that, you know, millionaires and billionaires can send their kids, and sometimes do send their kids, to public schools at a cost to the Florida taxpayer closer in the range of like $11,000 to $12,000 per student. Now the voucher program is a value of $8,000. So if you have anyone shifting from a public school system to using a voucher to go to a private school, every shift like that actually saves the taxpayer money. And that's borne out by the fact that we rolled out our budget proposals this week in the K-12 appropriations chair in the House. Josie Tomko rolled out a plan that would result in Escambia County and Santa Rosa County school districts receiving more money. The public school district would receive more money under the House's plan in conjunction with that voucher program that's coming down the line. So, you know, there are dynamics at play as far as, you know, funding mechanisms. But conceptually, I mean, this is it makes sense to me. I mean, parent is the ultimate arbiter of whether or not their child is getting a good education, and they should be allowed the choice.
Well, no, I see that on the spending side that's continually increasing, and I get that. But they're already sending their kid to private school. It's not a gain of three. It's a loss of eight, because we're already up 11, right? Because they're already not sending their kid to public school.
Oh, Andrew, millionaires are not a monolith. They don't all send their children to private school.
Okay, but the ones who do, right? The ones who do, that's the key, is the ones who are already doing it will now become eligible for these scholarships. That slice doesn't save us money. That costs us money.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, but at the same time, conceptually for me, right, if you're a taxpayer and you're paying into this system, and you have a child who, you know, you've already placed in private school, I mean, you're paying essentially for two children to be educated with your tax money, and one of them's not yours. You know, that kind of argument a lot of times has been borne out like by the teachers unions. And I'm not saying that you align with the teachers unions, Andrew, but argument the teachers unions never really held weight with.
Hey,
it never really held weight with me.
Last thing I just want to ask you, because I didn't understand the news release. There was a story in the News Service of Florida that the Senate was working on a plan to incorporate the Garcon Point Bridge into the overall toll system that FDOT operates. That's already happened. I don't understand what's going on in the Senate. Can you clarify this at all?
Yeah. So Senate Bill, I believe it's 1250, brought by my former colleague in the House, Nick DeSigley. It's the Department of Transportation bill for the agency. And it just provides statutory authority kind of retroactively for what they've already done. If you go to the FloridaTurnpikeSystem.com, Garcon Point's already part of the system. They're already operating it. But this is the statutory authority that has to come along with the operation of this system. So we're just putting in law pretty much what's already happened.
Okay, so this is basically an after the fact. Here's the real permission for the thing that we're already doing. Okay, that makes sense to me, because I was like, what are they approving? It's already there, you know. People are already paying it. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2.
Already signed off on.
Thank you. Very good. He is our state representative for District 2, and just gives us on Friday mornings during session an update on what's going on in session. Alex, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for explaining things to us and for being with us this morning, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 549 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. And, you know, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. It's very simple. I had a great experience with them. Basically, you know why we went to them in the first place? They had a car nobody else had. We were caught in a weird bind because we were looking to buy a Honda Odyssey, but like you do, you want to test drive it before you buy it and make sure that it's exactly the right car. We were actually about 6 months out from buying a car. We knew we had the main gasket or whatever, head gasket was, you know, failing on our old Dodge Caravan that we'd had since our firstborn was born, so it's been a while. And the problem was that all of the Honda Odysseys of the year that we wanted, you couldn't drive them yet because they'd get pre-owned certified like at the dealership. But they had to be cleaned up first. And all of the ones who'd gotten cleaned up were already pre-bought. So we had to agree to buy one before we could even test drive it. So it was kind of just a weird buy. We couldn't find one. We called it our unicorn. And so finally my wife was like, hey, I found a unicorn. I'm like, oh, where? She's like, Frontier Motors. I'm like, oh, well, let's go. We drove it. We loved it. We said, hey, can we work on that price a little bit? Then, yeah. Can give us a day? Yeah. Can we come down a little more? Yeah. Well, can we buy it? I mean, like, we weren't planning to buy a car, but they worked with us on the price, and it was exactly the car we wanted that we really just couldn't even find anywhere else. And that's the point, is they just have the vehicles. They have stuff that's hard to find somewhere else. And, you know, if they don't have it on hand, they can probably find it for you. So if you know what you're looking for, you can go there. But just a fantastically useful place to buy used vehicles. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel. And the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Whether you're looking for the number one selling diesel lawnmower, utility vehicle, compact tractor, or compact excavator, Coastal Machinery has it all. There's a reason even their competitors use Kubota engines. It's the number one diesel engine under 100 horsepower in the world. Take advantage of 0% long-term financing and large Kubota incentives. Stop by the Kubota field event Friday from 10:30 to 12:30, talk with Kubota factory reps, and enjoy free lunch and door prizes. 6701 Mobile Highway, just north of the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds.
Coming up tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Jerry Schaefer, WSRE Director of Education and Outreach, and Mary Riker, WSRE Director of Marketing, will be talking about WSRE station events in April, including Amazing Kids Day for families impacted by autism, a Spanish film festival, and Be My Neighbor Day. Tune in and hear all about WSRE-TV tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Yeah, Blink 182 is one of those bands where, like, when they were first popular, you're like, yeah! And now that you're 50, you're like,
They were trying to tell us what growing up was like. And the lead singer, Tom DeLonge, is like a big UFO guy now.
Oh, is he?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And it's really good.
Oh, really, man. I just always think of, like, the, what's my age again? You know, stay looks down outside of me. You know, like,
oh,
all
my
the,
gosh.
You're like, you're playing it real loud, like, in your car, and your windows are down, and you're like, maybe not quite as loud.
I know, every day on the way to work, I know.
5:53 on
your
News Radio.
Your husband's
not home? Oh, exactly.
Yeah,
I know. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The death toll from that explosion at a chocolate factory in Pennsylvania, now up to 7. Authorities say the remains of 2 more victims were discovered yesterday. That closes the search operations at the R.M. Palmer Company. The House of Representatives moving forward on a bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tweeted that the legislation would, quote, protect Americans from the technological tentacles of the Chinese Communist Party.
Ooh, I like that
you don't
alliteration.
See tentacles.
Yeah.
You don't see tentacles listed very
often. Technological tentacles.
And McCarthy's tweet comes just 3 days after the CEO of TikTok testified before the House. And the latest entry in the John Wick series starring Keanu Reeves was the top movie in the U.S. over the weekend. Apparently, it earned $73.5 million in theaters. And I also saw it got a 10 out of 10 review from IGN over the weekend.
What's IGN?
It's a gaming website.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so,
Just kidding.
They don't normally review.
I'm like
review
IGN
movies,
and David. I'm like, what's IGN? And David's like, what's Blink 182? So you know, we're even.
Oh, I know Blink 182.
Yeah, but you were born the year they were popular.
Because that's maybe a bad thing.
I'm not far off, am I?
No, of course not. See, of course not.
That's all right.
I'm also 29.
Right. We all are. We all are. Yeah, we all are. David, thanks so much for
You're
the
cheapening
update.
It.
I love you so much. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you know, so the Bill of Rights concept for parents that, you know, we have in Florida after last year and that they're now, you know, expanding, you know, I hate to even say that it's a slur. I mean, it really, don't say gay is a slur, okay? Because it's not an accurate description of the bill. But that's the bill that's the name that it has become known by, unfortunately. Anyway, and, you know, now, of course, DeSantis wants to expand that all the way up through 12th grade from the third grade. We're not the only state doing this. And now the federal government, well, the slice that the Republicans control, the House of Representatives, which is another way of saying this doesn't matter for anything. Okay, this is all for show. But still, the House did vote to pass the Parents Bill of Rights Act on Friday, meanwhile being called, you know, fascist and whatever. I feel like if you're not being called fascist once in a while, you know, and I also feel like it's the, you know, the liberals who cried fascist like the boy who cried wolf. But anyway, all kinds of elements to this bill. And it's not the same at all as, like, the Florida version of this. One is you would have to publish your curricula and reading lists, okay? So, you know, I'm a member of the public. I'm a citizen. I would be able to see, you know, what are students reading in school. That seems kind of like a no-brainer. Also, if the child is wanting to transition genders, school staff cannot promote or encourage that without talking to the parents first. That's a makes sense to me. Also, it doesn't address the identity or statements, but just notification, right? That's all it is, just notification. If they want to change locker rooms or pronouns or something like that. So they have the parents have the right to be involved, to be informed about something like that. There's other parts of it, too, though. Like, for example, schools would have to publicly disclose their district budgets, which living in Florida, you're like, don't we already? But okay. Plus the budgets of each school, revenue and expenditures. And they'd have to notify parents, this one is interesting, of violent activity occurring at schools or events sponsored by schools. So if there's fights, how many times did you find out that your kids, not your kids, but that there was a fight at a school your kids go to or a fight at an event or on a bus or whatever, and you found out through, well, the news, right? Or the kid grapevine or whatever. I mean, that's the kind of thing that, like, you know, the babysitter, you know, there's a fight in the house. You come home and the babysitter doesn't say anything. You know, like, the babysitter, the babysitter should say something, right? The babysitter should say something to the parents, right? And so same thing at the school. The school should tell you, hey, we had an event. You know, that's a sort of a basic no-brainer, and it's kind of funny that that gets people all upset. It would also prohibit the school from selling information. Elementary schools with 5th through 8 should require, we did that one already. So anyway, just kind of, it's not the same at all. It doesn't have anything to do with the don't say kind of stuff. But just, you know, it was interesting to me to see some of the dimensions of that bill being passed by Congress. Like I said, it passed barely. Some Republicans voted with the Democrats and all the Democrats voted against it. And it's got no future in the Senate. And certainly it's got no future in the White House, even if it were able to pass the Senate, which it will not do. So this is all for show. But, you know, sometimes you do something because you think that it's the right thing to do, even if it doesn't really have any hope of being accomplished in the end. Oh, also, the V-22 Osprey, no new orders for additional airframes, which maybe isn't all that surprising. The Pentagon basically says we've got as many as we need. It is a question, though, given some of the issues that airframe has had with some of the, it's basically the gearbox, I think, is part of the issue. But anyway, that they're not buying more of them, at least not at the moment they're not buying more of them.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.